And now, Wolf Bites Open Mic.
The Bass Jackers.
I just came home, actually, from tour.
Hey, guys, this is Phoenix Paul.
Hey, what's up? This is Sean Frank.
Wolf Bites DJs and your favorite artists.
Sophie Francis. Sophie, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, super nice to join you guys.
What's up, guys? This is Armin Van Buren.
Now, Open Mic.
What's up, guys? This is Midnight Mad Dog and DJ Burns here on Wolf Bites Open Mic Podcast. We are with the one, the only, magnificent Hala. On Wolf Bites Radio. You know her from Where You Are, from Shiver, from Escape, from Another World. We just had Medusa a couple weeks ago, and now we have Hala for Another World. So
amazing.
So much great stuff coming from Hala, but she also just released her first album. Round of applause.
Thanks. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for having me as well.
So this is your first solo album, the solo album that you're producing by you were in the studio every single song for this album.
Yeah, so I had a multiple amount of producers on the album, apart from one, which I did produce entirely myself. But yes, with each track, I was in the studio for every one of these songs that's on this album. And it was, do you know, a really nice process, actually, of picking which ones would go on the album, because I suppose it's a good problem to have, isn't it, when you've got lots of music that you like, you know? But yeah, all of the tracks that are on this album, I was integrally a part of the writing process with either, you know, either one other person or maybe three other people in there. Apart from, like I say, there was one track on the album called Dusk, which I wrote, recorded, and produced entirely myself. Yeah.
And that last Dusk song is the very vocal heavy, just like atmospheric, everything's going on in that track.
Basically, yeah, I don't know, it was an experimental piece and I'm glad that I put it on there in the end, but it was just, you know, for the love of giving something a go.
That's a great vibe there. You said that you started this album 3 years ago. You've been working on this album for the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. But in the past 3 years, you've had John Summit tracks, you've had Escape, you've had so many huge, your career has completely rocket shipped to the moon in the past 3 years. Oh. So how have you changed in the past few years? How are you doing right now?
Do you know what? It's funny. I don't actually think I've probably taken it in, you know? Mm. I mean, from the gig sizes that I've been doing before compared to the ones that I've done now with, yeah, like you say, starting with Escape. And moving up from there, really, it's been, you know, my journey. I feel like if I stopped and looked back at it, I'd probably be like, whoa, it's quite a lot. Well, at the moment, I'm just sort of going along. Yeah, you know, I'm like, where next? What are we doing next? But yeah. I honestly feel like it's definitely, I don't know, it feels like this, it's just been really nice to sort of see how things connect with people, if I'm really honest, you know? It's like you create something and you always hope that it'll connect, but to kind of, you know, see that it has in a way, it does give you some sort of like validation, I suppose, you know.
What kind of connection like touches you the deepest? Is it when they're singing along in the crowd at the shows? Is it when they're telling you their deep personal stories on TikTok? What gets you going in the morning?
Do you know what, it's a bit of both, really. I think that, like, you know, when I think doing shows, the most I can get the most emotion out of that, really, because it's so live and in front of you. And, you know, you can actually feel that kind of emotion being shared in the room. I think this is kind of off piste, I suppose, but I used to be an incredibly shy performer and I really found it hard to sing in front of people, like, at all. So the fact that, like, I sort of got over it, really, purely because I realized what could be shared in a live experience. And I think when I was singing, I sort of felt that shared emotion. And I think that's still now the thing that I like chase and want to kind of, you know, sort of spread that good positive vibes through music. I think that's the main thing that really gets me like, let's go. But I think it's amazing when people send me messages, because even if I don't end up replying to everybody, I do read everything, you know. And it is, honestly, it's one of those things where I just think it's nice that people have felt strongly enough about something to reach out and say. So, yeah.
Mm. And honestly, talking about your just like love of talk, like commenting on just like your fans.
I put together
Midnight
a little
Mad Dog this morning.
This is what we see when we look into the kind of comments you've posted recently. I see a trend going on.
Oh yeah, I know, because I'm like, ah, thank you so much. I think I text how I speak.
And these happened today.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What were you doing? What were you doing about 5 hours ago when I took these screenshots?
I was on my laptop. I was in this, actually. I was in here.
Oh. Yeah. Your little cocoon.
In my my little spider web chair. Oh yeah. Do you know what?
It's very precious seeing these emojis all over the place. Just how pure it looks, you know?
Oh, thanks. I mean, you know what? It really means, like I said before, it means a lot that people would want to comment and say how they feel about something. And, you know, and it's, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's really nice, you know? I don't know. From not having any of that before to having it now, it really means so much, you know? Yeah. Feel a bit emotional.
I mean, even I felt like, I'm like, man, like that is consistent. You're responding to almost every comment and you're just like so, so genuine and so loving to everyone you're talking to. And it's very sweet to look at, to see.
Oh, thanks.
And just talking about that, like I recently listened to a podcast, or you were on a podcast, I think it released 2 months ago, but I think it had been maybe recorded maybe a couple months prior. It was a sober podcast just like hearing your experience. I have a brother who is 10 years sober, so like I had like my own connection to what you were saying, but it just like hearing you talk just like gives your fans like even more like it gets to know you more, and like we start to fall in love with you even more. So I just wanted to say I really liked hearing what you had to say on that podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I was nervous about doing it initially because I was like, am I going to say anything that anyone really would either connect with or whichever, but it's such a journey, I think. And like, thank you. That really means a lot that you felt that way about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and my brother wanted to like just say, since he's, he was also like, oh, I like told him that. And he was like, no freaking way. I love her 10 times more now.
So, oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's amazing that your brother's 10 years as well. Like,
he would just like, amazing. Just keep on the journey. So,
yeah.
It's hard, but like, yeah.
Yeah. I've definitely felt the benefits. I will definitely say that for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Of course.
So, you've had huge songs with some of your favorite, some of our favorite producers. You had just big names every single time recently. What is it like finding a producer to be on your track? How do connections be made?
Ooh,
hopefully that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, do you mean sort of for my stuff when I'm doing like my album things, or when I'm doing like the collaborations?
Let's go with both, but let's start with the collaborations since the collaborations are so well known. Like when you first found K5, how did that interaction go?
Well, that was a very interesting one because the top line was something that was written in June of 2020. And again, it was just one of those that the top line was heard by Deadmau5. And we kind of didn't really know that KX5 was going to be a thing, right? So obviously nobody really knew. And we heard that maybe they liked the top line. So we were just kind of like, okay, cool. We'll see what happens there. And then, subsequently the magic was created by the production that was put on top of that record, and we ended up with that track. I mean, honestly, it's interesting because the Where You Are track kind of was born out of the fact that John did the remix of Escape. So then we had the top line idea for that.
Escape is my first like introduction to Hayla, and I also just like felt like there's a lot of like similar sound to it, and I love both these songs, but also like Escape was like my initial introduction to Hayla.
Yeah, and John Simon. I mean, yeah, because he did the remix of that, and that obviously landed incredibly well. So we were like, well, interesting. You know, we've got this other top line that he might be interested in.
Yeah.
So yeah, sent that over. So that's like, it was basically nearly the same team as well that wrote those two tracks. So yeah, well, the top lines. So yeah. So it's, it's been interesting. It's funny because it really depends. Sometimes you can be in the room with somebody as well, like with Shiver, you know, and then like you can create something like that and it can just be like the really organic kind of movement, or then it can be like a top line goes somewhere and a producer builds around that and creates whatever the track ends up being. And yeah, for my stuff, a lot of the time when it's my project and I'm doing my thing for my album, it's genuinely, I think everything from that album has been just on the day creation from zero to a track, you know? So it's like, yeah, sometimes I'll have like voice notes on my phone. Like I'm like I commute a lot. So I'm like constantly like writing or like, if I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, oh, I've got a voice note, something. So I've just thought about something. So I don't know. I think most of the time in my sessions for my stuff, it's like, it can be a totally experimental day. There could be something that I quite, you know, want to say, or tracks that I quite like that, you know, I've been listening to, like a bit of Rye X or a bit of Chiasmos or, you know, a bit of Rufus, and like, you know, just going on a bit more of a dark, moody, melancholy vibe. And then we'll just build from there, really. So it just depends. It's so many different like ways. Yeah.
How did your team get assembled for this album? Was it, were every song a little bit different? Ooh.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I think that my favorite tracks on there actually are the first two that I released back 3 years ago, which are kind of more electronica, really. Mm-hmm. So I suppose it kind of ended up being that I sort of tried to knead in the electronica tracks with some that are a bit more EDM. And yeah, it was the team that I had for this. Like I say, each track, I think on this album, apart from three, there's three tracks on this album with the same producer. And that's Andy Sheldrake, who was also involved in the writing of Where You Are. So, you know, so we kind of like, we've been friends for a very long time and like we've worked together for years, years, years. So it's other than Andy, really, actually, I think there's been a different producer on each track. So it's people I've worked with throughout the years again. Some people that I think it was like our first session together. And then we created something, and that was, you know, what ended up on the album. So yeah, I hope that answers that question correctly. I don't know. Is that?
Yeah. I mean, definitely. What I'm hearing is that it's a lot more complicated than we expect, you know?
Oh yeah. There's so much, honestly, you know, like I think it always seems, I mean, now it's quite nice to sit back and go like, oh, I've got a body of work there, but actually to pull it all together in the first instance. Yeah. Yeah. It's like done. But in the first place, it's kind of like, oh my goodness. Okay, cool. It's sort of, I'm glad that it took me 3 years, because I think that if I was going to try and rush it, I don't feel like I'd feel as like, oh, with it, you know. I feel very, it's like one of the most cathartic and calm things, I think, even though it sounds hectic. But it was definitely, no, it sounds like really hectic.
It does not sound hectic.
Does it not? Okay, cool. But it's definitely like the most cathartic thing that I've done, I think, you know. It was just really nice to be able to pull all these amazing, well, I think amazing tracks that I've sort of worked with people on over the years, and I can kind of see myself, you know, different points in my life, and you know, because it has been 3 years, everybody changes quite a lot and goes through quite a lot in that amount of time. So it was quite nice to see the, I don't know, ebb and flow. Yeah.
Could you, like, what does Where You Are mean to you?
Oh, well, it's basically about, you know, that person that isn't with you anymore, and you're wondering if they're with anybody else, and if, you know, they miss you, is it the same as is with them as it was with you? And it's kind of like, even though you sort of feel like, yeah, I feel like you want to be where they are, but also as well, I feel like, I don't know, it can be, the great thing about it really, I would say, is that it can bring multiple meanings, I think, to people. I don't know whether you mean like, did you mean like the writing process of what it means to you, or what it means to me now it's been released?
What it means to you, or either is fine, but I was just curious what it meant to you like right now.
Oh, right now. Oh, right. Okay. I mean, yeah. in this sort of, oh, sorry. I'm like, the meaning of the song is.
No. We love any answer.
Oh yeah. Oh, well, I mean, the song has been absolutely amazing to be a part of. Obviously I was in the writing process of it too, but just the fact that I don't know, just seeing the amount of people singing back, some of the crowds that I've been at this summer, especially with John, and some of the stages that he's had me alongside him on have been next level. And that song, I don't know, I think that it's definitely, you know, I'll have a gig and I'll go, oh, that's the best time that's ever been played. And then I'll have another gig and I'm like, no, that's the best time that's ever been played. Ah. Because it just feels like it catches so, like, I don't know, it's just, it's so fun to sing. It's probably one of my favorite ones to sing, because it's like in a nice area vocally. So it's kind of like I can sort of be like quite relaxed with it, but then also like really heavy hitting with the chorus. But it's a song that I just, I don't know, it's not lost on me how much it sort of seems to have connected with people, you know? Yeah.
I was in one of my school classes a couple weeks ago, and I have a good buddy who I know who loves EDM. As I was walking in, I was whistling the melody to the chorus of that song.
No way!
Like, I know that one.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately, he thought it was John Summit and Hala, I Get This Feeling. He didn't remember the actual title. But that's all right.
Oh, well. I mean, it starts off there, I suppose. So actually, yeah. He's like, eh. It could have been that
Hala.
Could have been that. Yeah.
Oh, well, you got your name. You got your name right.
Oh, that's good. 10 points for that.
Yeah. I saw a video on TikTok, which that's where I've seen lots of your stuff. You're just all over the place, posting like every other day on TikTok. It was you performing Without You with Kygo. You were big, bold, right in the front of the stage, just majestic, elegant, front and center. And I got shivers. I also, I was listening to the song and I'm like, this is going to be a timeless song. And then I was thinking, Kygo, timeless songs. That makes me think of Higher Love by Whitney Houston.
Wow. Yeah.
What if I compared you to Whitney Houston? How would you feel about that?
Well, I think my 4-year-old self and myself now would, that's like the most incredible comparison ever. When I was a kid, like I became obsessed with the Bodyguard album by Whitney Houston. Like I was 4 years old and I think I ran away, like not ran away, but like, you know, like went away when I was like toddled off to go and sing this song what's that song, like her main one?
I Will Always Love You?
Yeah, apparently I was singing that to some people in this pub. My mum was like, where are you going? So I was obsessed. So I mean, like, yeah, that's really, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. You had a Q&A like on your YouTube channel about a year ago, and I heard you mention the Bodyguard album, Whitney Houston. It's all foundational for you. And yeah. And we were just joking before the start. I Will Always Love You.
Yeah,
you would go crazy on that song.
We would love a remix of that song by you.
I mean, maybe if I ever get the confidence enough to do that. My 4-year-old self had the confidence, but
yeah, it is a bold choice.
It is a bold choice. I think it's one of those things, you know, it's like when there's such an iconic track like that, I just it would be pretty fun to do though. So I don't know. You never know.
I think you should have a version of that song for your concerts only. You don't need to put it on Spotify. Just like, here's just my second to last track.
Sing along, guys.
Everyone knows it.
You're not wrong. I suppose actually that would be pretty cool. It could just be like a gig only track. If you come to the show, you get a bonus track.
Ooh. That's cool.
Oh, thank you very much though. Wow. Yeah.
Another thing I saw on this this Q&A that you had, you were talking about some hobbies you were developing or you were thinking about developing.
Yeah.
What does your day-to-day life look like? What kind of hobbies do you have at this point?
Ooh, do you know what? I do definitely need to still cultivate my hobbies more, but I do love cooking. I definitely love cooking. It's like, again, something that's just not put on a good playlist. I listen to a lot of shoegaze actually, which you know sounds quite funny, but I listen to a lot of like dreamy, you know, like guitar kind of like rock when I'm cooking, because it just feels very like it's quite calming. I do love painting, but I need to get into doing that more, because every time I used to do art when I was younger, I did like A-level art. And I loved it, and it's just a really nice, like almost meditative kind of thing, you know. So I think that's something that this year coming, 2025, hopefully I'll have some more paintings.
Is that a New Year's resolution?
It should be a New Year's resolution, yeah, because my New Year's resolution this year was to eat more cinnamon buns. So
were you successful?
Yeah, I had one today. Yeah.
Okay. Bam.
How many cinnamon buns a week? How many?
Great.
Oh, I don't know. It was getting to the point where it was about 3 a week. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah,
it's pretty good, that, isn't it? Pretty good, that. It's solid. I think that's a solid effort.
That is a solid effort.
Yeah, I mean, it's December and you're still doing your New Year's resolution. So
yeah,
I know.
That's anyone's
got to keep up. It's tipped a bit though. I mean, I suppose it's like maybe at least it's probably only like one a week, if that now. But still, yeah.
So yeah. You caught you on a good day.
Yeah. You did.
On a cinnamon bun day.
On a cinnamon bun day, yeah.
So what do you like cooking? What is your best meal you've made recently?
Oh my gosh. I mean, like, I love cooking Italian food. So, I mean, anything kind of like pasta related. I love making, I made actually cannelloni, you know, like with the lasagna sheets. So like wrapped it around and put like spinach and ricotta inside and like baked it with like tomato sauce and like, yeah. I was very proud of it actually, yeah. And I did do that. And then, yeah, just with some garlic bread, but I can't take the credit for that. That was already pre-made. But yeah, like any Italian food, yeah, is like ultimate, especially like, yeah, just ultimate fave, yeah.
That's so much fun.
Yeah, thanks.
I want to ask about your style, your dress style, your glasses.
Today's chill today, but yeah.
So when I showed a friend your album cover and I said, it kind of reminds me of, I almost said Medusa. It reminds me of Maleficent from the Disney movie.
Oh, yes.
Those things. And then she also said, it reminds me of Cruella DeVille. Yeah. So what kind of vibes are you going for? Has this kind of artistic style you dress in been a thing for you for a while? Is it a new thing?
Well, do you know what? I think it's been a bit of an experiment over the sort of, I've always been sort of more alternative leaning, but I think the kind of more solidified style and trying to actually like, you know, I don't know, dress for a bit of dopamine, you know? So like dopamine dressing is kind of like what I've started doing a little bit more. It's like putting something on that you just feel like really good in, even if it's a bit extrovert sometimes, you just think, you know, it's kind of fun. So I've over the last, it's kind of fun. Why not?
Yeah.
But I've always, yeah, I think like, you know, it's good to sort of like find pieces that bring you joy, you know? And I think the sort of alternativeness of myself, alternativeness, is that a word? We'll go with it.
I think so.
Yeah. Cool. But like that, I think I've just sort of been able to pull into my own, I suppose, like show style a bit more, like my sort of day to day wear. I mean, like today, I just, you know, quite relaxed kind of thing, but you know, but I just feel like I've been able to sort of, I don't know, build on it a bit more, especially because I've been working with an incredible stylist called Bo Tiger Ray, who has sort of given me license, really. Yeah, Bo Tiger Ray. Given me license to sort of play around a little bit more and be a bit more daring. Cause I think I thought for years, like, you know, oh, maybe that like higher sort of fashion and play with fashion isn't for me. It's for somebody else, but it's for everybody, you know? Mm. And I think that if anything, I hope that with what I wear and sort of the way that I dress and things, maybe helps people feel like it can give them creative license as well. Cause I'm only a person, and you know what I mean? I feel like it's just been really fun to play around. And I feel like, definitely finding a stronger sense of identity has come as along with that, really. Mm. Yeah. To a degree, you know? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean by like your stronger sense of identity? Like what is that? How does that manifest in your actual day-to-day life?
I think it's just kind of like, you know, what you sort of feel out on the inside out. So that sounds really weird, doesn't it? You know, but it's kind of, I suppose, like, I don't know, really. It's just things that I've always really liked and gravitated towards, like, you know, on Pinterest or whatever. I know, like, just going through, I'm like, oh, that's really cool, but maybe that's not what, maybe I couldn't wear that. And I just feel like over the last couple of years, I've been like, why not? Yeah, I can wear that. Who cares? It's fine. You know, so I think it's kind of like, it's sort of been a bit of a confidence booster because I've just gone and thrown caution to the wind a bit. So in that way, I think like I've sort of dared to try something more daring. I don't know. So I don't know. I feel like it's definitely just, yeah, made me feel like I know myself a little bit more because I can kind of go, okay, I'm going to try that. Maybe not try that, but yeah. I don't know. It's like a calling card, I suppose, as well, in a sense. When you see somebody's dress sense, you're kind of like, oh, I quite like that. I might take a bit of that and a bit of that. And just mix it around, you know. Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you said about glasses as well before, didn't you?
Yes, I love them.
Yeah. Really quick shout out. Yeah. Valley Eyewear. to anybody who's in, anybody who's interested, because I know I do get a few questions about them. But yeah, Valley Eyewear, and they're an Australian brand, and they do loads. So have a look.
Very iconic for Hala's style, for sure.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We don't work together, by the way. That's just because I get a lot of messages about them. So I sort of tell people.
Yeah, we're just letting the fans know where you're getting all these nice little accessories.
Why not?
You want to make them feel the same confidence you got, you know?
Come on.
I
got
to be honest. My high school year of my senior year of high school, I was very shy. Most of high school, I moved around from different schools. So it's just like I'm constantly meeting new people and just like just afraid to do everything. And then senior year, I started wearing just what I wanted to wear. And specifically, of course, I'm on budget. Goodwill, we're going to buy a suit. And we're just going to wear it every day. And
amazing.
And that was, I felt so good that ended that last senior year. Just like being ready just to do whatever I want to do.
And, it's perfect.
And moving on to college and just saying like, this is who I am. I'm going to wear whatever I want to wear.
Yeah. And that's it. And by the way, I will say like a lot of my stuff is from Vinted, you know, like Depop, Vinted. Like I'm definitely, mm-hmm. I'll thrift a lot because I think you find some of the most amazing things sometimes because they're like not brand new. Like you can find sometimes better, more interesting, and also better for the planet, you know? So, and I think that's amazing that you felt like that too, because that's kind of like for you to be able to kind of go, okay, this is me. I'm going to play with it. I'm going to show my kind of like, you know, style side off, and like that's really cool that you felt that level of confidence from being able to do that.
That's glorious. Yeah. When I said the word glorious, I also called you timeless earlier. I said I loved your glasses. I've been complimenting you all day.
Oh no.
what is the most unusual compliment you've had recently?
Oh my days. I don't know. I did get called Cruella de Vil quite recently. And I actually was kind of like, not for the animals, because I've got to keep I'm not gonna find a bunch of Dalmatians, you know. But I was like, oh, she's no, not the vibe. But I was like, oh, okay, I'll take that snappy style though, you know? So I think like actually, and it was funny because I was just walking around and I bought some chips from this shop, like fries from this shop, because I was just hungry and I was wearing this quite extrovert outfit, I suppose, but it must have looked a bit weird, me just like turning up like wearing this, I don't know, I looked a bit over the top, but I was like, can I get some fries please? And they were like, you Cruella de Vil. It's like,
no, that's right in your face.
and then I think he asked me if I'd been working out, and I was like, what?
Okay.
I was like,
how's this related?
I was like, I don't know, but I was like, I'll take the Cruella de Vil one, but not for the puppies. So yeah, but I think maybe that's probably the like most out there kind of compliment. But I was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah. It probably depends on how they say it. You know, if they're afraid of you, then that's a problem. But if they're like, wow, that's interesting.
Style icon, Cruella de Vil right here, basically.
I mean, I hope that's what they think. I was like, I'm taking it in the positive way, but you never know, actually.
Could've always got to take it in the positive.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what is next for Hala? She just had an album about a month ago. And she's had Medusa recently. So
yes.
we're having a few more singles probably. Like what is next for Hala?
So I do have a few more singles. I also have a few more collaborations coming, which I can't tell you about now. Let's go. I can't tell you about now, but like I'm very excited about them. I know that like I'm going to sort of be, you know, putting them in between my own solo releases. So hopefully we'll have like a nice mixture of, you know, solo releases plus then collaborations. I'm also currently, I mean, I know I've just done my first album, but I'm sort of going to be in the writing process for my second album. Yeah. So, I mean, I haven't got, that's, you know, date is not anywhere as of yet, obviously, because I'm just going to be like creating it, but I'm going to get back in the studio, definitely. But other than that, I'm going to be doing a few more gigs as well. So we're working on finalizing some dates now, but as soon as I know, you'll know. So yeah, but I'm very excited. In the US. In the US, yes. In the US. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that. And there's going to be some a little bit further afield as well. So, yeah. I know that's very like, what, there's no information there. There's like loads of information, but nothing specific. So you'll have to, yeah.
Very vague.
Very vague.
Mysterious.
Oh, we'll keep it
mysterious.
Vague.
Anticipation. Yeah. You're just
I
building
know, that's
anticipation.
That's where we are.
And we love
what
it.
Do I know? Well, thanks. But yeah, there's loads of bits and bobs. I'm really excited to, yeah, to share 2025 with everybody.
Have you, this is kind of crazy, I guess, to have a question, but it's just sort of the time of year also. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about making a Christmas song?
Do you know what's really funny? I actually spoke to somebody about, not like, I mean, you know, I so admire Christmas tunes because I think the longevity that some of them have, I mean, obviously the icon Mariah Carey, like, need I say anymore? I mean, I think that, you know, obviously as well, like Sia's Christmas album was so iconic. Like, mm-hmm. I think to be able to create something in a modern sort of pop way and have it have so much kind of staying power too, because those tracks are so cool. Mm-hmm. I have spoken to somebody in the past about making a Christmas song, but the weirdest thing is about writing a Christmas song is that you write it in the summer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
and then you release it writing, in like October or November.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, I was like, oh, okay, cool. How would that? Yeah. All right. So it's sunny outside and you've got to be like, so I've not done it yet, but there has been, even just as like a writing exercise, you know, we have sort of, I have spoken about it with a few friends before and we were like, should we ever, do you want to give it a,
would it be like a progressive house Christmas song or how, what, you know, I'm just thinking
moody.
Yeah. Where does Christmas, where does Taylor Christmas go?
I like that.
We could go moody Christmas, couldn't we?
Mm, yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, people like to go raving every time of the year, don't they? You know what I mean? Yeah. Why does it have to be, you know, it doesn't have to stop at Christmas, you know? Hey, maybe that's the thing. I don't want to stop this Christmas. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But like, who knows? I mean, I think that it would be really fun to give it a go, though. So watch this space. You never know. Maybe one summer I'll be in there with some sleigh bells. Yeah. Getting the moody. Yeah, getting like a melodic tech house kind of progressive thing going.
That just made me think about like the hi-hat and the house beat, but instead it's a jingle.
I think this could be something. This could be something.
Uh-oh. Well, we got to be creative. That's what it's all for, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You never know what's going to hit until it does. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be Halo next with the Christmas rave banger of the 2025.
Michael Bublé. You best watch out. Michael Bublé's got to watch it now. Tell you
better.
What. I know, Michael. I'm coming.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Hala, it's been just glorious being with you. And it's so fun kind of running the whole gamut with you. We're talking about your hits, album. We're talking about your style. We're even talking about Christmas. is there anything last you want to promote on Wolf Bites Radio that we should be listening to, that we should be looking forward to? What's on your mind this moment?
Well, I suppose if nobody's listened to my album yet, they can on all of the platforms that music is streamed off. It's called Dusk. And I will have some vinyl very soon. So that's going to be something that will be coming out. So watch this space for that. But yeah, if you haven't heard it yet, you can buy all of the music streaming sites that are out there. Yeah.
That would be such a cool album cover in vinyl.
Yeah.
Your whole face. That'd be crazy.
I can say it does look pretty cool.
You've already seen it.
It's nearly done. Yeah.
Oh.
I will. Nearly. There's some extra bits and bobs though, so you'll see. But yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So that should be very soon. So yeah.
Very cool.
I'll be checking my vinyl store very soon then.
Oh yeah. Do that, definitely. I'll have a date. Hopefully I'll have a date soon. So, yeah.
Sweet. Well, it's been so wonderful having you. And
thank you so much for having me.
I want to put the little heart emoji and the teary eyed crying face again. That's what I get from you right now.
Oh yeah, I feel like that. Yeah, what the. Oh, thank you so much, both of you, for having me. Honestly, it's been so nice chatting to you.
Yep. Well, thank you guys for listening. This is Midnight Mad Dog and DJ Burns with Hala.
Signing off. Thank you so much, Hala, for spending some time talking with us about your new album. And you can continue listening to her on Wolf Bites Radio, 88.1 HD3 Wolf Bites Radio.